The tornado outbreak in the Midwest damages Boeing and others. TSA seeks to speed up airport check-in. And a group of World War II veterans are returning home after 40 years in the jungles of Burma. This is Aero News for Monday, April 16, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. A tornado swept through South Wichita on Saturday night, causing significant damage, but apparently no major injuries. Boeing and Spirit AeroSystems took a direct hit, officials said, as did the Oaklawn neighborhood and a mobile home park. At Boeing, a skeleton crew was on duty, but there were no immediate reports of injuries. The company was not able to immediately assess the damage, but a spokesman said it was extensive. At Spirit AeroSystems, part of the side of the manufacturing process facility was gone. The plant was without power, and officials said six buildings were significantly damaged and four were left with major damage. Again, there were no immediate reports of injuries. To the northeast, Hawker Beechcraft reported damage to a roof. A more detailed estimate of the damage should be forthcoming this week. If Saturday was a bad day, then Friday the 13th turned out to be a very good day for Boeing, as its executives, as well as more than 500 employees, suppliers, union representatives, and government officials, joined China Southern Airlines to celebrate the 4,000th Next Generation 737 at a special event Friday at Seattle's Boeing Field. The 4,000th Next Generation 737 jetliner will be delivered next week to China Southern Airlines. More 737s have been produced than any other commercial jetliner in history. And Boeing can only hope its 787 Dreamliner will see a similar success. Boeing has just announced the sixth leg of the 787 tour, with stops planned in the U.S. in early May at Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, in Dallas, and in St. Louis. The tours are designed to show the aircraft to customers, partners, government officials, and other stakeholders, but unfortunately, they are not open to the public. Airport check-in is getting a bit more technological. The Transportation Security Administration has begun an experiment at Washington's Dulles International Airport to check identification and boarding passes by machine rather than just the visual check by officers. Passengers step up to the TSA desk and scan the barcodes of their own boarding passes, much like scanning a can of soup at the self-checkout at a grocery store. The TSA officer then scans the identification, which the machine authenticates and compares to the boarding pass. An alarm can lead to more questions or checking the identification more closely. If a fraudulent document is found, the passenger is referred to law enforcement officials for possible charges. Besides Dulles, the experiment will begin Tuesday in Houston and April 23rd in San Juan, Puerto Rico. The review will last several months, gauging such things as how fast passengers move through the line and how accurate the machines are. Meanwhile, at DFW, a TSA baggage handler has put his own spin on the check-in process by allegedly stealing iPads from passengers' checked luggage. Clayton Keith Dovell, age 36, of Bedford, Texas, was arrested February 1st and has been suspended indefinitely. According to airport police, a traveler reported on January 24th that his iPad 2 had been stolen and that he had traced it electronically to a home in Bedford owned by Dovell. While arresting Dovell in that case, airport police discovered another iPad in a leather satchel. Dovell told authorities that the iPad was his, but he couldn't remember where he had bought it. Using that iPad's serial number, police traced it to a Grand Prairie man who had reported that his iPad had been stolen when he traveled through Terminal E in May. If found guilty, Dovell could face 2 to 10 years in jail. The TSA issued a statement calling the arrest part of a, quote, zero-tolerance policy for allegations of misconduct or theft, end quote, at the airport. The statement continued saying, again quoting, "The unacceptable behavior of this individual in no way reflects the dedication of our nearly 50,000 transportation security officers who work tirelessly to keep our skies safe," end quote. It's a statement we've heard a little too often, as recent weeks have seen various TSA employees arrested on charges of prostitution, drunken disorderly conduct, firearms violation, charges of child pornography, and more. The Centers for Disease Control, CDC, released a report Friday stemming from an incident in August of last year in which a bat was observed on board a commercial airliner shortly after takeoff. While the CDC determined that no one on the plane was exposed to rabies, it did lead to an environmental assessment of the Wisconsin airport where the flight originated, and they say we could see more of this in the future. The CDC says that even as air travel continues to increase, projected to be 3.3 billion passengers by 2014, transmission of infectious diseases before, during, and after a flight is an increasingly important public health concern. When AeroNews continues, the shuttle Discovery is ready for her final flight. 40 years ago today, the countdown was on at Launch Pad 39. And 20 World War II veterans will soon be on their way home.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Monday, April the 16th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. NASA's 747 shuttle carrier aircraft with Space Shuttle Discovery mounted atop will fly approximately 1,500 feet above various parts of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area tomorrow, Tuesday, April the 17th. The flight is scheduled to occur between 10 and 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. NASA television and the agency's website will provide live coverage for those of us who can't be there. The exact route and timing of the flight depend on weather and operational constraints. However, the aircraft is expected to fly near a variety of landmarks in the metro area, including the National Mall, Reagan National Airport, National Harbor, and the Smithsonian's Udvar-Hazy Center. When the flyover is complete, the SCA will land at Dulles International Airport. Discovery completed 39 missions. On Thursday, NASA will transfer Discovery to the National Air and Space Museum to begin its new mission to commemorate past achievements in space and to educate and inspire future generations of explorers. In another era of space exploration, it was 40 years ago today that Apollo 16 set sail for the moon from Launch Pad 39 at then Cape Kennedy. On board were Commander John Young, Charlie Duke, and Ken Mattingly. It would be the next to the last Apollo mission, as Congress had cut NASA's budget and plans for Apollo 18, 19, and 20. For Mattingly, it was the ride to the moon that he had missed when the threat of measles had bounced him from the crew of the ill-fated Apollo 13 mission. 40 years ago today, we were going to the moon, and now we have to buy a seat for our astronauts on a Russian rocket, and our only manned space vehicles are celebrated as museum artifacts. The times have certainly changed. Well, pretty much everyone has seen photos of jets landing just feet off the beach in St. Martin's Maho Beach in the Caribbean. But a new video on YouTube that has gone viral is causing local officials to keep people out of the path of the planes. Known as Blowback Beach, tourists gather at the airport fence as airplanes depart, hoping they can hold on to the fence in the jet blast. Authorities have posted signs warning of the dangers, but with little success. In the video, a woman is shown being blown hard into a concrete barrier. While Princess Juliana International Airport said in a statement Thursday that her injuries were not serious, in response to this and other incidents, heightened security measures at the airport and on the beach are now being considered. That according to a report on MSNBC. That sound is the unmistakable music of a Merlin engine powering the Supermarine Spitfire, one of the iconic fighters of World War II and a hero of the Battle of Britain. 20 Spitfires will be returning home to the UK soon, now that they've been found buried 40 feet underground in Burma. The discovery was made in February by David Cundall, age 62, a British farmer and patriot who spent 15 years searching for the missing aircraft. Since then, Prime Minister David Cameron has stepped in to resolve political and trade entanglements that might have prevented their return. It's believed the 20 planes will be in near-perfect condition as they were buried in their shipping containers, waxed, wrapped in greased paper, and with their joints tarred. The aircraft were abandoned and buried at the order of Lord Lewis Mountbatten in order to protect against a Japanese occupation just 2 weeks before the end of the war. Amazingly, Cundall says the British government will make no claim against the planes, so he hopes to be able to recover some of the money he spent searching for them. His dream is to see a full squadron of the iconic fighters flying at future air shows. Of the 21,000 ships produced in World War II, only about 35 are left flying in the world today. In an episode of the popular TV show MASH, Hawkeye decides he's being underpaid by the military, based on what doctors at home in the States are being paid, so he submits a bill. When the Army refuses to pay, he simply goes to the motor pool and procures a Jeep in payment for his services, and confusion ensues, as it so often did on MASH. Well, it seems a man in Dayton, Ohio, had a similar idea. Officials say a man who was let go from a position at UA Vision in Dayton, Ohio, allegedly took a small, non-military UAV from the company in a dispute over payment. The aircraft is worth about $10,000, which the man said was what the company owed him for work he had on projects, but for which he says he had not been paid. The business owner said the former employee used a still-active key card to enter the building and take the drone. The police told television station WHIO that they were close to resolving the matter in a timely fashion. No charges have apparently been filed in the matter. That's all we have time for in this edition of Aero News. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.